In early 2021, during the global quarantine, a 33-year-old woman disappeared after visiting a friend. Security camera footage shows that the last person to speak to her was a Scotland Yard police officer called Wayne Cousins. When questioned, he denied meeting her, but the evidence was clear. The woman's protector was the main suspect in her disappearance. This is the story of Sarah Everard. Sarah Everard was born in Surrey, England, on June 14, 1987. She was the youngest daughter of Jeremy Everard, a professor of electronics at the University of York, and Susan Everard, a service assistant at a local charity. Sarah grew up in York and graduated with a degree in geography in 2008. She had a great relationship with both her parents and siblings, and she was known to be an extremely kind and intelligent person. While there was a significant amount of media coverage of the case, we do not have much information about her personal life before the incident. In 2021, at the age of 33, Sarah lived in Brixton Hill, London, where she worked as a marketing executive for a digital media agency. On the evening of March 3rd, she visited a friend's in Clapham, South London. Sarah left to go home at around 9 p.m. As she walked, she spoke to her boyfriend Josh on the phone. She said that she was taking a route that would be safer and better lit. They talked for 15 minutes and arranged to meet the next day. On the 4th, Josh was concerned that Sarah was not responding to his texts. It appeared that her cell phone was out of range or had been turned off. He became worried when Sarah did not show up for their meeting. Josh went to the police station and reported his girlfriend's disappearance. The police analysed security camera images of the route Sarah took from her friend's house to her home. As you can imagine, there was a lot of footage to look at. Family, friends and volunteers distributed hundreds of posters with her photo on them across London. Some people called the phone number on the posters, claiming to have information about her disappearance. One witness told police that he had seen a woman very similar to Sarah being handcuffed by a police officer that same night on a nearby street. So the police looked for Sarah in the last place they could imagine, the police records. Perhaps she was in prison for some crime. Unfortunately, they found nothing. A few days passed and Sarah was still missing. A report was made on the images gathered from various security cameras in the city. At 9:28 p.m., she was seen walking on Poynders Road. 4 minutes later, a camera in a passing police vehicle captured images of her. At 9:34 p.m., she was also caught on a bus camera. Then they saw that a lone police officer had approached her under cover of darkness. On March 9th, just 6 days after her disappearance, the authorities identified the police officer as Wayne Cousins. The delay was due to the fact that Cousins was not assigned to the police district where the disappearance occurred. He was stationed in London, practically 60 kilometres away. The police went to his house at 7:50 p.m. to question him.
So we're here to talk to you about Sarah. I'm just going to show you a picture. Do you know Sarah?
I don't know.
Okay. Sarah went missing. I'll show you some pictures of her on the day. Sarah went missing on Wednesday. And her parents, obviously, and her family are really worried about her now. The inquiry that's been conducted so far has led us to come and speak to you about it and to see what we know about Sarah, okay? So, would you like to... Do you know where Sarah is?
No.
Right. Do you know anything about what happened to her?
I know that she went missing up in London somewhere about a week ago or so, just from what I've got on the news.
Okay. Have you ever personally met her?
No, not personally, no. Have
you had any interactions with her at all?
No, why would I have personal interactions with her?
Well, it's very difficult because I can't go into a lot of the evidence because obviously that would require, that's not part of what an urgent interview is, okay? This interview is just about trying to find her.
Sure.
She's been missing for a while now.
I'm sat in handcuffs and asking me what I know her. So you must have something to say that I know her.
Well, like I said, you've been arrested on suspicion of kidnap. And we believe that you've been involved in her disappearance and taking her away from her family.
Okay.
So we are trying to find her. Obviously everybody is very worried about her. She's got, you know, parents, she's got a, you know, she's got siblings, she's got a boyfriend. There's a lot of people that care about her.
Sure.
You've
sure.
seen her on the news, the number of people that, you know, are reaching out about her.
Sure.
Out there looking for her every day. And she's missing. And it's our job, our primary job here is to find her and to try and find her. Safe and well.
Okay.
Now, we believe that you know something about where she is, and that's why we're here, to look for her and to try and find her. And that's why we're talking to you now, is to try and get you to have a good think about it and, you know, tell us anything you can about where we might be able to find her.
Okay. Well, I am in financial and I've been lent on by, I don't know who they are, they're a group, a gang, whatever, and they told me, right, I need to go and pick up girls and get them to them. So, I said, what's happening, and it then came through that they're gonna harm my family, take them away, and they'll use them instead. At that point, I had no option to try and find somebody. So I don't. There's a couple of names. I was told a place to take her. That's it. That's all. That is all I know. To this group of people.
Tell me about them. I need to find them. Tell me everything you know.
Okay.
That you'll help me.
There was a white Sprinter van. It was between sort of Lennon, Maidstone area that I dropped her off. I still don't know. I don't know. I just parked my car up and then the van come up behind me, flashed me, and they all jumped out. And then they took this girl. They said, you've done good, and I don't know if my family's going to be all right still, but they threatened to take my family away from me. So, at that point, I'm doing what I can to protect my family, that's it. So, all I know is that it was a roundabout. We could drive there now, I could show you, but I don't know Lennon Maidstone area at all.
If we did it on Google, if we did it on Google Maps, like Google Earth, if we drove it, would you like to do it?
I drove from Ashford to Maidstone.
He retraced his steps that evening, and the police used Google Maps to mark his route. The officers asked him what he was doing there, and he explained that he had crossed a local gang and had been accused of sexually assaulting a female member of the group. The gang had threatened to kill his family unless he kidnapped a girl for them. Wayne was taken to the police station and charged with kidnapping.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem senso de humor tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui no Pátria Amada Criminal.
The investigation continued, and the following day, March 10th, at 4:30 p.m., in a park called Hodes Wood, in a forest in Ashford, Kent, They discovered Sarah's charred remains in a bag of construction waste on the banks of a stream. It is worth mentioning that this area is approximately 100 metres away from some land owned by Wayne and 100 kilometres from London. Expert dental examinations confirmed that it was Sarah Everard. Wayne, who until now was accused of kidnapping, was also accused of murder. Wayne Cousins was born on December 20th, 72, in Dover, Kent. In 1990, at the age of 17, he worked as a mechanic in his family's car repair centre. He carried out light body repair work on vehicles. He had been married for 15 years to a Ukrainian, a laboratory technician with a degree in biochemistry. They had two children. In 2002, he was employed as a security guard. In 2008, he joined the Kent Police Traffic Team. In 2018, he became an officer in the London Metropolitan Police, known as Scotland Yard, where he was assigned to guard duties at foreign embassies. During his professional career, Wayne received complaints of misconduct and inappropriate behaviour. He was accused of harassment in 2002, in his first year in the job. He received another in 2015, and yet another in January 2021. In February 2021, he was accused twice for what is described as indecent exposure, which allegedly took place in a fast food restaurant. Wayne's co-workers knew that he was addicted to violent pornography and would even comment on inappropriate sexual content. In addition, he made female staff very uncomfortable when he was around. This earned him the nickname "The Rapist" at work. While it is clear that his police colleagues were aware of his behaviour, no measures were taken to curtail his misconduct. Investigations have been launched to identify the systemic failures in the police force that led to Cousins staying in service even after so many accusations against him. Police discovered that Wayne had been travelling from Kent, where he lived, to London, a one-hour journey by car, back and forth on the same day for over a month. It was suspected that this was to research the best places to commit a crime without being detected. On March 3rd, he was part of a police unit protecting parliamentarians and diplomats at the American Embassy in London. At 7 p.m, after his 12-hour shift, he travelled to Kent to pick up a car he had rented. That night, he roamed the streets in search of a victim, and unfortunately, he found Sarah walking alone. Shortly after Sarah hung up the phone at 9:34 p.m, Cousins approached her saying that he was an on-duty police officer. He told her that she breaching of COVID-19 isolation rules. He showed her his identification and said he was arresting her. He handcuffed her and ordered her to get into his car. Cousins drove back to Kent and changed cars at 11:43 p.m. in Dover. Using his personal car, he took Sarah to a remote rural region in Hodes Wood, where he sexually assaulted her, then asphyxiated her with his belt. This heinous crime took place between midnight and 1 a.m. After that, he left. The following day, March 4th, at 8:15 a.m, he was seen on camera buying breakfast and soon after returning the rented car. He returned to his own car and drove towards Sandwich, Kent, where he threw Sarah's cell phone into a stream. At around 11 a.m, he was filmed buying gasoline using a 5-litre can. He returned to the scene of the crime. Once there, he put Sarah's body in a refrigerator and set it on fire. Local witnesses reported seeing smoke in the area at this time. Afterwards, he used some rubbish disposal bags to dump the body in a stream close to the land. Authorities discovered that Wayne later brought his wife and children close to the location of murder. On the 13th, 7 days after the kidnapping, and on the same day that Sarah's body was found, There were marches and vigils were held protesting the lack of security for women in London. A serving police officer had used his authority and position in society to kidnap and murder. The people demanded a response from both the police and government officials. Not all of the protests were peaceful. The police had to intervene in one close to the location of Sarah's disappearance. Four people were arrested for violating the rules of social isolation, which were in place to contain the virus. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Boris Johnson, made a statement promising to take measures to prevent cases like Sarah's from ever happening again. The police force had lost a lot of credibility, and police officers were harshly treated by locals. Why had they not properly investigated the repeated accusations of misconduct made against him during his years as an acting police officer? On September 30th, the last day of the trial, Sarah's family attended court. Sarah's sister, Katie Everard, delivered a statement. "You used your warrant card to trick my sister into your car. She sat in a car, handcuffed, for hours. What could she have thought she had done wrong? What lies did you tell her? When did she realize that she wasn't going to survive the night? Did you rape her, then kill her? Did you kill her while raping her? You get small nuggets of information, and the thought process starts again. Your semen and blood were found in your car, so this suggests you raped her in the car. My only hope is that she was in a state of shock and that she wasn't aware of the disgusting things being done to her by a monster." The victim's father, Jeremy Everard, made sure Wayne Cousins looked at him as he made his statement. "I can never forgive you for what you have done, for taking Sarah away from us. You burnt our daughter's body. You further tortured us so that we could not see her again. We did not know whether you had burnt her alive or dead. You stopped us seeing Sarah for one last time and stopped me from giving my daughter one last kiss goodbye. You murdered our daughter and forever broke the hearts of her mother, father, brother, sister, family, and her friends." Wayne Cousins was found guilty on all charges. His defense team tried to claim that the defendant suffered from a psychiatric disorder, but the judge understood that the report submitted in evidence did not prove his disorder was serious to the point that he did not know what he was doing. Cousins appeared cold and showed no sign of remorse throughout the trial. He was sentenced to life in prison without the right to parole.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui, no Pátria Amada Criminal.